Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Smash Pod.
Robert Campbell has gone deep into the Amazon rainforest, into a world of astonishing beauty, a land of ancient mystery, where he's made an amazing discovery.
What is it you think you've got?
I don't think. I know.
You found the cure for cancer, and all you can say is, I know?
There's just one problem.
You did what?
I've lost! Haven't you ever lost anything? The purse, your car keys? Well, it's rather like that. Now you have it, now you don't.
Hollywood Pictures presents Sean Connery and Lorraine Bracco in a John McTiernan film, Medicine Man. He turned his back on civilization.
Now I understand why you don't want to leave.
Only to discover he had the power to save it.
They obviously worship you.
It's the other way around.
Hello and welcome to Smash Pod, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films and Bond-related films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them. Hosted by me, John Rain. It's side special time again, and this week we'll be welcoming you to the jungle for fun and games and rodents and names. Yes, it's Medicine Man, and joining me to look for her purse or car keys is comedy actor Margaret Caborn-Smith, who can be found on Twitter as @MemCaborn-Smith. I don't know why I hesitated there. MemCaborn-Smith, thank you.
Thank you.
For being here.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great.
I enjoyed your weird reference, the one of the odd lines in
the Persian
film.
Car keys.
Yes.
Yeah.
They try and do a callback to it. It doesn't work. And it's slightly different from the original things. Like, that's not how callbacks work.
It's because you've got somebody in the other leader acting role who can't talk properly.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I mean, we'll get to it, but one of the things, I mean, I never saw this film when it came out because I'd heard it was terrible.
Yes. Now, I wanted to ask you about this. Hmm. What was the reception at the time? Because I sort of didn't remember it being like a massive turkey. It's not, you know, Ishtar levels, but I just got the impression that nobody would want to see it.
It was a flop.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a definite
Sean
flop.
Sean Connery was a big box office draw.
Mm-hmm. £10 million.
£10 million off this, yeah. Lorraine Bracco has just come off of Goodfellas, so she's quite a big draw.
Yeah.
And directed by John McTiernan, who did Die Hard and Predator.
Yes, I just saw that this morning.
And so I think everybody went to see it thinking, and I think the trailer made you suspect it was going to be some sort of action film.
Yes.
And it wasn't. And it was a big flop.
No, but it was weird because it starts seeming like it's going to be a knockabout. You know, it feels like it's going to be Crocodile Dundee. And I think that's maybe the problem, is that they couldn't decide what it was supposed to be. And
nobody ever did. No, the trailer makes you think it's going to be Crocodile Dundee mixed with Romancing the Stone or something.
Yes. Oh, Romancing the Stone is definitely, yeah, what they were aiming for.
But it's not. It's just a... I mean, John McTiernan later said it's an art movie with a big budget and people expected more from it than it was.
Yeah.
But it's not an art movie either.
No. No.
Mind you, there are some naked people in it, so...
So much nakedness. It's a lot of wooden thongs.
But it made me think this would be a good format for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Right, yes.
Where you have to put celebrities not only in a jungle, but they have to find a cure for cancer.
That would definitely be... you'd feel better about watching it, wouldn't you?
They've got a week to do it.
However, yes. Yeah. Yeah, however close they got, you'd be like, well, they were trying.
And instead of voting people out, right, you vote somebody out, but that's to have the cancer test tried on them.
Wow, okay.
So you could get someone by the second week having a sort of enlarged head and weird arms because the treatment hasn't gone well. And, you know, like an eyeball popping out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that's...
ITV, if you're listening.
They're not.
They're not, are they? No, no one is. So Medicine Man, the first thing that struck me about it was the credit in the titles of Brazilian Indian choreographer.
Yes,
Maria,
I saw that as well.
Maria Fatima Toledo.
No, and I thought, oh, this is going to, you know, is this going to be Step Up in the Jungle?
Like La Bamba.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was suddenly excited about it because up until that, well, I mean, and obviously there's one of the producers is called Vajna.
Yeah,
which
Andrew
was
Vajna.
Good. Yeah, he comes, you know, and they keep flashing that name up over and over again.
He's from Carolco, who produced Terminator 2 and Total Recall.
Yeah, sure. No, I knew that.
Yeah, you knew that. Yeah. But it sounds a bit like Vagina.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And definitely one of the highlights, comedy-wise, in this film.
There's not many highlights,
oh,
comedy-wise.
Oh, God. The first joke where she says, she says, Crane... And he says, no, toucan. And she's like, no, my name's Crane. And he's like, yes, and I'm wearing a toucan on my... I mean, it's awful. It's awful. And I think if this is the level...
Can I shock you, though?
Go on.
I enjoyed this film.
Is that because your expectations were so low? Yeah.
Yeah.
I sort of enjoy... I mean, maybe enjoy is slightly too high...
Let's be frank, I've watched a lot of shit for this podcast.
Yes, you poor thing. And, exactly, I hardly see anything. I don't see things that I know I'll like.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
But I think that the key is to be, for a film, if you go in and you come out at the end caring about your protagonists, it's a success.
Absolutely.
And
no,
I
and
cared.
I definitely had some feelings during this film.
No, I cared for the crane and her bow.
Did you?
Yeah.
The crane and her bow.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
But she's been sent from this company, which I've forgotten.
Oh, and can I say, the voiceover at the beginning that she does is so echoey that I thought, okay, it's going to be a big sort of lecture that she's doing at the end. It's going to be to a million people in
Yeah.
It's spoiler, it's not.
No, is it?
No.
But so, the thing is, she's a lot of the bad reviews about this film at the time were to do with her voice because she's from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Or the Bronx.
The Bronx.
He calls her Dr. Bronx, but she says she's from Brooklyn.
No, other way around.
Is it?
Yeah. He calls her Brooklyn because that's actually quite a nice feminine
name.
You're
right, yeah.
And then she's like, no, it's the Bronx.
I beg your pardon.
But that was a weird scene for me because I felt they both looked really sad. And that should have been the sort of, we fancy each other scene. And I thought they both looked really sad that they didn't fancy each other and the chemistry had not materialised.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Which is what this film's all about.
Yes, well, that was... I think chemistry has ruined many, many films. Or lack of chemistry.
I'd say chemistry has ruined many Sean Connery films from the 90s. Because he's an old man.
Yes, I think he doesn't fancy people anymore. Or maybe... Yeah, he's too... An older, handsome man that I used to really fancy.
George Hamilton.
sure. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's George Hamilton. Yeah. And I was doing a radio thing with him.
Right.
And he had the air of somebody who couldn't be bothered to fancy, like to flirt with me.
Right.
Like he half-heartedly flirted with me. And I felt like saying, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to.
It's like you've been married for years. Don't worry about
exactly.
it. Let's just get some sleep.
He was, yeah.
We're both tired.
You know how you flirt with your partner in bed at night.
What? Yeah, but I mean, Sean Connery is a funny one because a lot of the 90s he was coupled with young women. But I would say in the defence of this film, he's not trying to have sex with her all the way through this. He just admires her, who grows to admire her. And in a kind of perhaps fatherly way?
I thought it was more motherly.
Yeah, you might be right, actually.
But I wonder whether that was just because he wasn't acting very well.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, all that unbutton your shirt, which is again
unbutton
a
your
big
shirt.
Callback. Unbutton your shirt.
Better.
That's supposed to be a bit sexy, isn't it?
I think so. Well, it gets called back later, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they're supposed to be like crackling sexual tension.
I think you're right.
And it's not happening, and they're both going, it's fine, there's other stuff going on in the plot, which is true. Cancer is more
important.
But they should say that at the end of every scene.
There should be a line
reading
in there.
Cancer's more important than this. Also, there's an amazing bit where he he says, pajamas. And I really feel like he fancies the pajamas.
I think he does.
Like he's, you know, and she's in them and she's a hot lady. And they're... John's just made a face, ladies and gentlemen. She's reasonably hot.
She is.
You know, but I agree, she's not hot, hot she's, in that Hollywood way.
I like
way.
Lorraine Bracco a lot. She's great in Goodfellas
yep.
and Sopranos. Oh, I think and everything. She's... But I do Brilliant. Think she's miscast in this, but I yeah. also would say Sean Connery's
miscast.
I agree.
I mean, I have a theory that Sean Connery's been miscast in everything since Bond.
I would agree with you.
Yay! Yeah. Because he's been in good films. Yeah. Well, but my argument about The Untouchables, it's a brilliant film and he's not bad in it, but he's not like
Irish.
Amazing. Yeah, he does a bad accent.
He does
and he's
say,
not like a standout performance. It's a good, solid performance in a brilliant film, I would say.
This should be Mel Gibson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes. Yep. Or Goldie Hawn even. No?
Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. Or, they should both be sexier.
Or a Sean Connery film from 1975.
Yes.
When he's younger.
Yes. Oh, God. I was thinking if this was, you know, Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he got too old to do this sort of
what
thing
do you mean?
As well. Sorry, I don't
know. He's still a young man.
Yeah.
He's doing another Indiana Jones film.
Oh, God, he's not, is he?
He is.
He's going to die. Is he going to do them until he dies?
I think he's going to do Indiana Jones and the cardiac arrest.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kept thinking, anyone, if this was a hotter actor, this would be great.
Yes, there'd be tension there.
Yeah.
Will they, won't they, find a cure for cancer or have sex?
Yeah, either of those are good.
Yeah.
Either, both.
Brings a lot of people happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, mum would have liked to have lived another 6 months, but Sean Connery got his end away. So... Win-win. But it starts off with her going and she gets picked up by two scary-looking men with no teeth.
Yeah.
Which I was very unreassured by. The man's like, just go with them in the jungle. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we supposed to be feeling there?
I don't know.
Are we... Because I sort of wanted to see her as, oh, no, she's capable and whatever. I mean, I sort of couldn't work out at that point whether she was supposed to be vulnerable.
Well, it's a big reveal later,
capable.
Isn't it?
Yes.
We're supposed to think that she's just a lackey, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I should say, going back to what I was saying earlier... is that her voice got a lot of jip. And I must admit, like you say, with the intro, I'm thinking, oh, God, this is nails on a blackboard stuff.
Yeah.
But I grew to like it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I've just felt like they could have made more of it, you know, of that sort of, you know, that they could have been lots of jokes about
they could have got, as
how
I say,
strong
the word coffee.
Her New York. Sure, exactly.
Coffee. Yeah.
But especially when you've got Sean Connery, who does also have a ridiculous voice.
Exactly.
You know, and when they met and he was going... where's your mask? And what about your shots? And you're like, we're
brilliant.
All used to...
This is the best Sean Connery impression I've ever heard. I'm so pleased we got you on.
It's like, we're all used to the fact that that's what Sean Connery sounds like. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if you met someone who talked like that, you'd be going, I'm sorry, what?
The fuck are you talking about?
Or she'd be going, I'm sorry, what?
Watch Cancer?
Yes, exactly. And they've just been the first few scenes is just them going, what?
This could have been like Love Thy Neighbour. You know, you got two cultures coming together and, you know, bucking.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been a racist classic.
Could have been.
Missed
yeah, but it's not.
No, it really isn't.
She goes into the jungle with two things. Men with no teeth.
Yeah.
And then she gets in a canoe with a man with his bum out.
Yes. First bum out of the film.
Yeah.
But I mean,
one.
I think in my head, it almost closed also with the same bum, you know, going to a little black dot. At the end of the film. It's like, I felt like I was bombarded.
With bums.
With bums.
Bombarded.
Yeah. Yeah, bombarded.
If you watch this again, would you have a drinking game based on bums?
Drink for every bum, I'd be so hammered.
You would.
And the wooden thongs.
Didn't know where you were going then.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of drew attention to them in a... But again, I didn't know whether I was supposed to find them... funny or mysterious or sexy.
I think you were supposed to have that reaction that most people have when they see tribes people and just
yes.
go, oh.
And well, this is it. Mm. This is it. I didn't know whether... Because she wasn't bothered by it. He's not
Why
bothered
would you
by
be?
It. Yeah.
You'd be an unreasonable person.
Although he does call them Indians and Aboriginals.
Aborigines.
It's like, you don't seem to know who they are. You've been living... How long has he been living among them?
Was it, I don't know, 5 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
His wife left him.
I haven't really pay attention. Yes, they like to throw that in.
For
every,
a gym instructor.
Was it for a gym?
No, I'm joking. I'm imagining him ringing...
A bum out gym instructor.
Him ringing her like Partridge, going, I found the cure for cancer. What's your new fellow done? He can do 10 sit-ups, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, but she goes to see him and then she sees the ceremony where we had the terrible joke.
Yes.
You were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Where he comes over with a giant bird's head on his head. And her name's Crane. And that's a brilliant joke. Goes back. Basically, he's hammered. He's absolutely hammered.
But I didn't think his drunk acting was very good.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's the peach perno he's drinking that people spit in.
Yes. Yeah, that's an odd detail, isn't it?
I hate...
I think they were trying to sell them.
I hate films like this, cinemas. Where you've got somebody who's living in the wild.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you know, like, this person pisses in the wine. It makes it better. Don't be such a tight ass and drink it. And it's like, no, someone's pissing in it.
Yeah.
People are gobbing in this stuff. Why does it make it nice? Have you got any water? Tizer.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird that he's got perno, to be honest.
It is, isn't it? Bit of a gay drink, if you ask me.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think he'd like that.
No, you would not. I noticed that his tattoos are very prominent in this film. Usually they're hidden.
I was going to say that, yeah, they're his real tattoos, presumably.
They are. He's had them since the 50s, I think.
Oh.
And in Bond, they used to cover them up. Yeah. Or try and cover them up.
What are they of?
I think one of them's a panther.
Oh, right.
I might be wrong. But they're terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, by today's standards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he could have like a Celtic symbol. Or a picture of Farage.
Maybe he's turned the panther into that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you think he's got... I mean, I saw a picture of him recently. I don't think he's going to turn into anything. He's not very well. He's got a carer now, bless him.
Oh, has he? That makes me feel worse.
He has to wander around with a carer. Poor Sean.
Poor Sean.
I was thinking about that because I was thinking that it's...
still a domestic violence apologist.
Yes, he is.
So sorry for him.
No, 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 don't be sorry for him. But in the early 90s, there's always police cars going past when I'm recording.
It's dramatic.
It's awful. In the early 90s, it's funny how he was still a draw, even though he's...
Well, yeah, the whole 10 million thing. I wonder if knowing that he got 10 million for this actually made the film worse. You know that thing of people going, okay... Because I seem to remember that people knew this at the time. It's like, oh my God, this is what he's worth. He's the biggest movie star. So there is a bit of, well, come on then. You know, if you're worth 10 million, not only do you have to make a lot of money, you know, this film has to make a lot of money, but you have to be 10 million worth of starriness on screen. And he was just a sort of hairy...
Well, it doesn't bode well when one of the IMDb trivia about this film is that Sean Connery used to play golf every day.
Yes.
I think you just came here to play golf.
Yeah, and exactly. And he doesn't look grizzled in the right way. He looks a little bit tailored. You know, he's got glasses on a lanyard. Mm-hmm. He looks like an old lady.
He does look like an old lady.
Doing evening classes.
He's even got long hair.
Yes.
Which apparently the film composer, Jerry Goldsmith, who did the music to this film, which is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
He's doing John Barry, basically, and it's beautiful. Jerry Goldsmith famously always had long white hair and a ponytail.
Yeah, gross.
And he looked like a scientist from California. And apparently at a party one day, Sean Connery bumped into him and just said, I want your hair. And so for the next film, him and the director decided they should have that hair.
Yeah. And the hair definitely, it sort of works for that character.
It does. But I kept thinking, would it have been any less bad if he was bald?
He should have been bald, really.
Because he's an old man.
Or maybe, done something more interesting with his...
Dyed
long
it black.
Dyed it black and done lots of little plaits.
And done a Noel Edmonds style dyed beard as well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing was going to make him more attractive in this, to be honest.
Virility.
Sure.
So the next morning, so basically she has to sleep on the floor because he's so drunk.
Yes.
And the next
Although
morning,
I didn't understand that when
no,
I watched
I didn't.
It.
It's a very strange
Because he doesn't
cup.
Seem that drunk at all to me. He seems like what you might expect an eccentric scientist who's dancing around a fire to, you know.
In clothes that are highly flammable, by the way.
How do you know that?
Well, they all seem to
covered
be
covered in perno.
Wicker. And probably covered in perno. Yeah. But it looked like he was covered in little sticks and I can't think of the words.
Man.
Twigs?
Twigs, that'll do.
That'll do. And if he danced near a fire in that.
Yeah, you're right. It was ridiculous.
But I mean, there is no health and safety in the jungle.
That should have been the tagline.
Which is why the right wing would love it there. It's literally not PC
wish
gone
they'd
mad.
Go there, yeah.
I do.
Be nice.
It would, wouldn't it? Anyway, so she wakes up the next morning, and there's a little bit where she wakes up in the morning, and this like water's dropping on her face, right?
Yes.
And I thought, oh God, are they going to have it that someone's weeing on her? Because then it cuts back to. You see lots of tribes people looking at her, and I thought, oh no, there's going to be a small child doing a wee on her head. But there wasn't, thank God.
Right, you were disappointed.
No,
I
was happy.
You were relieved, yeah.
Yeah.
because like a small child.
At this point, I thought this is where it's going to go. You know.
Yeah, it's going to be all bums and wheeze.
All bums and wheeze. Which is how my son would review this film. Put it on the poster. But Connery is essentially living in the Ewok village from Return of the Jedi. It's like lots of trees.
Yes.
A lab incongruously in the middle of this. How's it being powered?
There are so many questions. And I really wanted it all to be made of coconuts and, you know, in the old school.
The plug sort being of wooden with three
yeah,
wooden pins.
Yeah, I was really disappointed. There's a bit later where it just looks like Go Ape and it's like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. They're swinging from tree to tree. But it's all really proper stuff. It's all, you know, rope, proper ropes.
Harnishes.
And metal harnishes and all of
again,
that.
It's good fun.
Yeah. I'm sort of deliberately getting worse and worse in my Sean Connery.
You're like Sean Connery's career. As you go on, you're getting worse. But yeah, we find out his wife left him and he wants Crane to go home.
Yeah.
Probably because of her voice.
I don't think he can talk.
No.
I mean, literally, you know, I think it's...
In more ways than one, yeah.
Yeah.
But as I say, I warmed to her. I thought she was good in this, actually. She's had lots of fun. The scene where she takes all that caffeine is quite fun.
Yes, it is fun. Although I did think, I don't think she has had coke. It's a bit like what I would do if I was asked to pretend I'd had coke, because I've never done coke.
Or some wine.
No, because that's... I've had lots of wine.
Or a jazz cigarette.
A jazz cigarette. Well, no, but they're quite different though, aren't they? And my jazz cigarettes.
I wouldn't know.
I have had a jazz cigarette. Have and you? Yeah, and it just made me hungry.
This
and
will get us in the papers.
Paranoid. It's such a revelation.
You know when Stephen Fry went on Richard Herring's podcast? And
yes,
once
this will be
himself?
It.
This will be yours.
Yeah.
Cable Smith, I've had a jazz
once,
cigarette.
Once, yeah.
Once.
But coke, I think I would be... Her cokey acting is a bit like, woohoo, hooray!
Yeah.
Hooray, I'm having a lovely time. I'm not sure that's how. Yeah. But it was enjoyable because it was different from the rest of what she was doing. And again, like you, I actually think she's very good in this.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very jarring voice, accent.
Again, may I shock you?
Go on.
By the end, you know when she's got the thing on her head and the glasses.
Yeah.
I loved her.
There you go.
I did.
There you
when
go.
She was all tribes woman-y at the end, I was like, you go.
Yeah, no,
you go.
You're, yeah, exactly. For an, yeah, not
she
hot
can
woman. She's
be my Crane any day. I don't know what that means.
No,
but Sean wants her to go home because basically he thinks she's a lackey delivering his golf balls. You don't need a scientist, you need a caddie.
Yeah.
That's my terrible.
That and was sort of a cross between them, which is
it like, was, wasn't it?
You don't need a scientist.
Need a
caddy.
But then he finds out that she has basically come there to assess them from Aston.
She's his boss.
Mm.
I honestly thought that was a really, really good
Me too.
Twist.
Me
I thought
too.
That was like, yes, yeah, this is much more fun than because the rest of it is all a bit a woman,
yeah.
You know. And I thought, is this the whole thing going to be people laughing and saying it's a woman to each other? Which, you know,
this was a highly
done.
Sought after script. It said in the IMDb trivia.
Yes, I saw that.
A lot of people wanted to make this.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But then I think
coke.
There's a lot of it about.
Yeah, at this time, the early 90s.
It was, yeah, it feels like there was a lot of things coming together at that, at, you know, that sort. When was Romancing the Stone?
That was 84.
Mid 80s.
Mm.
Yeah, people wanted another of those sorts of.
You could have got
action,
it here. You
jungle
could have got,
action.
As we said earlier, you could have got two younger people, changed the script a bit so there's a bit of action in there, rather than
less
just sort of.
Less philosophy,
less sort of. Wandering around looking weird and bored.
Yeah, a lot of looking weird and bored.
What you need is, I mean, he has a fight with the people later on we'll get to.
Yes.
You need more fights.
Yes, and the fights were weirdly one-sided. And
as they would be with an old man.
Oh, you're right.
It's
you're
a bit
right.
like Harry Brown.
There's also, I tell you what was weird, there's no jokes about how old he is,
nope.
Even though there's setups. There's literally setups for jokes about how old he is. He says really early on, do I look like I have dementia?
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, a bit. Like, you could have... you look old. Is that what you're saying?
You look like you'd have to wear reading glasses to look at pornography.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got your lanyard.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I suppose he just doesn't need pornography. I suppose he can look at the tribeswomen. Or men.
But yes,
he does draw a little boy at one point.
He does draw a little boy. Yeah.
Not in a funny way.
No,
I don't know
no,
what you're
you don't
trying to
see
insinuate.
Him drawing boobs, though.
He enjoys Lorraine Bracco's face, not
yes,
like that.
Not her.
He draws a picture of her.
Yes,
he doesn't. God no,
that's a horrible euphemism.
It really is. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed my wife's face last night.
That's awful.
Sorry.
And it can go the other way as well. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my... No.
Somehow it's more graphic the other way. Anyway.
But there's a really weird... I mean, you're an actor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a really weird line reading in this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we find out she's his boss. And then Connery drops down. Drops down? He says that he's basically... He's intimating that he's found a cure for cancer. And then he says at one point, I'm asking you to do a biopsy for a family of rodents, which is a line you'll never hear in a film ever again. But so he wants her to do a biopsy on some rodents.
Yes.
Because he has injected them. Again, not like that. Later on, Sean Connery is telling her that he's cured cancer.
Yes.
Right.
The plague of the 20th century.
The plague of the 20th century. And she's like, that's great. Let's do more. And he says, and he's very quiet in his tone. And I want to ask you as an actor.
Yeah.
How would you do this? Because
sure.
He's very much like, it's great. You know, I've cured cancer. Everything's great. I solved all the problems of this tribe. And then in the next second, he says, haven't you ever lost anything? And he starts shouting at her. Yeah. And she's not at one point caused him to explode like that.
No. And he is very much... Not very much, but he's a bit like my dad in that sometimes he'll just be randomly unreasonable and shout. That, yeah, there's a thing later where he says, I can't do it. I can't do it. And when you sort of say, okay, what is it? I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, and it's like, all right, what can you explain? You know, and he doesn't. He doesn't explain anything. But he does have, these weird rages.
He's mentally ill, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got dementia. I think that maybe that's the payoff. Yeah. When he says, do I look like I've got dementia? He was actually, maybe that was a bad line reading. He should have said, oh, do I look as if I have dementia?
And then he starts crying. Yeah. But he says, haven't you ever lost anything, Dr. Bronx? Your purse, your car keys? Well, it's rather like that. Is it?
He's so angry. And also, I didn't hear purse. I thought your pass, which was weird. Like a sort
could work.
Of...
Could work.
No, you're right. Purse makes more sense. You lost anything. Your purse!
See, it's just getting better.
Yeah, you're right.
You're going to become. You're going to be doing a show with John Coleshaw this time next week, I tell you.
Playing elderly Sean Connery.
He's going to hear you and think, I'll get her on. I'll get her and the other one.
What other one? Yeah, Lorraine Bracco.
The impressionist he does it with. I can't remember.
Yes. I have actually done I actually have done a...
You've done a big impression?
I haven't done a big impression, but I was on a Sony Gold winning impression show. And if you've done your research,
like this
John...
Like this one, you mean?
Is this one a Sony Gold?
No, but it will.
Of course it will.
Especially now you've done an impression on it.
Yeah, cut that out.
But to cut a long story short... Sean takes her to see somewhere.
Maybe is that why Sean Connery does that thing with his voice? Is that he heard Sean and he thought all should be pronounced.
He's not a scene, is he? Is he a scene?
No. Who's a scene?
Sean Bean. He's a scene.
He's not. Oh, as in spelt scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's spelt scene.
Yeah, so he thinks that all words begin with S, but that was
There you go.
You've solved it.
Solved it. Done.
Yeah. Solved. Excellent. But yeah, so he takes Lorraine Bracco to see, or Crane, I should say, to see a girl in the tribe who had cancer, who had like lymph nodes.
Yes.
Cancerous things. I'm not a doctor.
No. And nor are either of them. And I thought they were quite vague on the...
they were.
Yeah. They're going, she had lumps here. And I was like, okay, I've had mumps and, you know, my glands have swollen and stuff. I don't know. How obviously.
Would this film be better if he said, I found a cure for mumps, but I've lost it? Sorry, mumps.
That would be and a she really
went,
different
yeah,
film.
Since you've been gone, we saw in mumps.
Yeah.
What?
That would be so good if,
I've been here for 5 years trying to find the cure for mumps. It's done. Wasting your time. Literally.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
And if we find out that he is called, by all the natives, he is called Depshula.
I forgot about that. Well,
I was quite drunk when I wrote this. But it's Depshula, which actually he says means medicine Depshula. Man, which I reckon means dickhead. But they told him
it's
medicine.
A euphemism,
man.
Yeah.
He gave Alka-Seltzer to a child and upset the real medicine man.
Yes, and I do love that detail. It's funny.
What's best is that, I mean, we'll get to it later, but the actual medicine man looks like Mervyn Hayes, which gave me great joy. I kept imagining to be in an address.
Yeah, maybe Mervyn Hayes, that's what he did after he retired.
Second time he's been on this podcast.
Is it?
He's in Santa Claus
Melvin
movie.
Hayes.
What did I say?
Mervyn.
I meant Melvin.
Yeah, wow.
Jesus
His
Christ.
Brother.
Yeah, his brother Mervyn. And this is when we find out that he's going to call her Brooklyn, and she says she's from the Bronx.
From the Bronx.
Yeah, and then Sean gets drunk, and he says to her, you can have my hammock.
Yes.
And then he puts the guinea pigs in her hammock.
Yeah.
Because he says he doesn't want her to think that he's fiddled with the test results. So in the morning, she'll see. Because they've injected the guinea pigs with the cure.
Yeah.
So they've given the guinea pigs cancer, presumably they're making them smoke cigarettes for a long time.
Sure. And that he's, for somebody who's trying to solve cancer, that's not the right word, cure cancer,
yep.
He smokes an awful lot. He doesn't
Does
seem
he
to be.
In this?
Did you not? Yeah, there's a whole. Mate, she breaks his cigarette at the end. Like she says, don't you remember the line? Don't smoke in my house. And he says, it's my house. Don't you be sanctimonious.
You know what? I didn't even notice when she snapped the cigarette at the end. I was thinking that's a
that's
bit
weird.
Yeah, I didn't even notice.
No, there's a few references to him smoking.
I was too busy thinking.
He's very cool.
That's a bit so that's silly. A that if you're trying to solve cancer,
it's
you
bizarre,
smoke,
especially when you live in a wicker house.
Well, yes.
It's absolutely bizarre.
It's like Steve Marriott all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Steve Marriott.
Poor Steve Marriott. That's stupid, because what if he was a year away from finding the cure and then got cancer and died?
I know. Maybe he's so old he doesn't know that cigarettes have anything to do with cancer.
Maybe. Well, he's thinking about mumps, really, isn't he?
Yes.
But she wakes up in the morning. And
oh no, you've missed the bit where it looked like he was going to tie a knot in a snake, which I was very excited by.
That was a disappointing aspect, actually, because you've got this up to this point we're supposed to think this is a very strong-willed woman, independent,
yep,
manager of this company, and then a snake.
I was a bit disappointed. Me too.
It'd have been better if he wouldn't have been scared of the snake, but it would have been better if she was less of a woman. Yeah. I don't mean that all women are like that, just in a screenwriter sense.
Yes, exactly. No, they have to do those. You have to go, oh, no, don't worry, guys. She is attractive. Look how vulnerable she is. But, yeah, there's a snake up in the rafters, and Sean Connery laughs and goes
and
to
says,
deal with it.
Wait, is she my fucking snake?
But he reaches up, and I thought, oh, my God, is he going to tie a knot in it to secure it and make
like
sure the snake
animal.
Doesn't?
Doesn't he say it's called Steve or something?
Steve, yes, I was going to say.
But she's just Steve.
And
my
they do
cancer snake.
Deliberately give him cancer. lots of words with S in.
They do. They always do that.
Yeah.
It's funny. I reckon they have some sort of bet when they start making a film.
A sweepstake.
A sweepstake. I'm glad you
Connery
came. This is very good. But then the next time, they start having banter with the tribespeople.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't mind that.
No, it was quite good. They all speak this funny sort of broken English, which they have to put subtitles.
Yes, I know, and I bet someone was annoyed that they had to do that, but
I bet the filmmaker was.
I think it's better than doing ADR, though.
Or if they were like, English. ADR would be better if they were just like, he was just saying you're a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Like in the Japanese cartoons.
Yeah, perfect.
And then we find out that Sean Connery thinks that this particular flower that only grows in this very high tree is the cure.
Yes.
And he runs lots of... There was one perfect sequence where they ran all these sequences. I don't understand cancer research. But there was one particular spike called number 37.
Peak 37.
Thank you. Yeah. Which was the cure.
Yes.
Not the band.
Yeah. Yeah. Very confusing number of references.
And they need to try and replicate Peak 37.
Yes, and he hasn't been able to replicate it, which is the plot of George's Marvelous Medicine.
You are quite right. Yeah,
which is very good. It's a good...
This
story
film would benefit
reference.
From a giant old lady sat on the top of a tree.
So, yeah, they should have a scene where they have all of the tribes people being blown up or shrunk.
Giant chickens.
Yeah.
There weren't any chickens in this. Guinea pigs.
Yeah, a lot of guinea pigs.
A giant hacking guinea snake. Pig has got this... cancer.
Yeah. poor cancerous animals.
Poor cancer guinea pigs. Yeah, so we have a conversation about how he's lost the cure. And then we find out that a new road is coming. Like
a new road. Exactly. So it's George's mom. You know, they're stealing from Roald Dahl and the
League
of Gentlemen.
The place.
It's good.
And to think the screenplay was highly rated.
There was a thing. Oh, no, maybe they stole. I mean, League of Gentlemen might have stolen it from this film.
It's not like them to homage anything.
I'd love it if they bothered to
watch this. No fucking way.
I can't imagine them ever bothering to watch it. But there was a line in this where he said, and I listened to it three times, it's a new road that leads right up to my falafel.
That's right.
It's not, though. What is it?
That's
it's
how
not
he
falafel.
Talks about his
falafel.
Anus. Doesn't he mean the village? The
yes, but...
Falevo or something.
Falevo?
I don't know.
I couldn't work out what it was he was...
He said something about the milkshake bringing boys to the yard.
No, that was it. That was it. Yeah. Right up to my... Bring some milkshake up to my falafel. Sure.
Yeah. And then he says that he wants Crane to stay and help him find the flower and then takes her to the trip at the top of the trees. And that's
yes.
when we get this lovely
the Go
sequence.
Ape. PGL.
Go Ape.
But
the music here is lush.
Yes. Yeah, that does.
I've been listening to it non-stop since I watched this film.
It's
a beautiful piece of music. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Jerry Goldsmith doing John Barry. Oh.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
With his ponytail. Just picture him.
Imagine him sort of running his hands through it.
When you picture composers, I've realised that this is entirely wrong, but I picture them conducting.
Some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah.
John Williams does.
Yes.
But some don't. Danny Elfman doesn't.
Okay. But obviously, a lot of the when they're composing, they're not conducting.
No, they're not.
No, that's writing and
sometimes you
writing
see a credit
and humming.
Sometimes you see the credit composed and conducted by.
Mm.
But sometimes you see composed by then conducted by.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Goldsmith was a conductor.
Yeah.
He had a ponytail.
Lush hair.
Oh, Sean liked
see it.
See it
waving in the breeze.
But they poke their heads out through the top of the trees, like in The Hobbit.
Yep.
And there's a fire long way
fire
away.
Fire coming.
And you want someone to say, fire bad.
What's
but
that?
No one says
I don't
it.
Know that.
Huh?
What's that?
Yeah, it's what tribes people would say.
Oh, know. I see.
Fire wow. bad.
Bad. Smoke bad. Yeah. I'm sure you're doing. I don't know what this accent is. Fire bad. Oh, fire bad. She's big, but she's good.
It's just getting better every moment. But they need help to try and copy the winning formula.
Yes, and I didn't really understand. He got very angry when she was asking questions about it, and she was just asking very straightforward questions like, well, are your notes wrong? You know, what?
I was not
just
my thinking, goddamn
no,
notes.
No, it's not my notes. I was like, okay, I'm just trying to fucking find out.
I've just got
wrong.
Here.
Exactly. You haven't even let me have a bath.
Yeah.
You know.
She does have
tell
a bath later,
wrong.
And there's a little boy might
sexy,
wee in it.
Sexy bath. Yeah.
Is it sexy?
No.
No.
All baths are sexy, John.
Are they?
Yes. I used to have a flatmate who would say, I'm just going to go off and have a naked bath.
It's true.
Make
it's
it
true.
Much worse.
Yeah.
The thought of him doing it.
It's true. Naked.
It's hot, isn't it?
No.
No.
So basically, Lorraine Bracco's moaning because she hasn't got enough manpower
yep.
to go through all these plants, flowers. Yeah. So the next day she wakes up and she's wearing these huge kind of like...
what's they called?
Airwolf glasses?
No, they're more like those science glasses. What are they called? I remember being very excited the first day of science.
Yes, what are they called? Safety glasses.
Bunsen burners, beakers, and... Yeah, maybe it's just safety glasses and there's no...
They had a name, you're right, and I can't remember it.
No.
Goggles.
Goggles, yeah. There we go.
She has got like glasses that look like goggles. And when she wakes up in the morning, Sean's there. Well, you get a shot of her looking surprised. Then a cut to Sean.
Someone else pissing on my face.
Yeah, someone else.
Every day.
Then you cut to Sean. He goes, well, you did show you needed help. And it cuts and there's like 40 naked people standing there.
Yeah.
And then we get a lovely little montage.
Yes, a sort of bum parade, bum production line. And then there's a weird boob parade.
There is a little bit of boob.
Which ends with her boobs. So it's like sort of loads of naked tribes boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then her boobs, which are covered in a smart shirt and have some specs on them. And again, I thought, is that supposed to be funny?
Mm.
Or are we supposed to think that all the previous boobs were funny?
Or some of them sexy.
It does make you think about boobs, but in a weirdly weirdly detached way. Yeah,
yeah, because you start thinking about the Western culture around boobs and the tribes people.
You are doing some
boobs.
Very good thinking about boobs. Because there's a breastfeeding baby very early. I did sort of think about the extras in this film and thought, God, they're doing some really good work.
Boob-like.
They're all up trees and breastfeeding and, yeah, that
golf.
I hope they were
retrieving
well
golf
paid.
Balls.
Yeah,
I bet they weren't well paid.
No, exactly.
I bet they got like...
I worry...
A can
sandwich.
Of Coke.
Yeah.
Look at this. Yeah, we've seen one, mate. Look at this.
Yeah.
It is a can of Coke.
There was a thing earlier with the tribes. Those scenes that are really annoying where you have the cranky man and the woman who sees a different side of them suddenly. Do you remember that? And there was a tribes kid.
Oh, yes.
Who was given a golf ball and a sparkler. And
yeah.
she's sort of going, oh... How lovely. Oh, I'm reappraising this cranky
isn't human
old woman.
Nature wonderful?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I should have said, you know, the glasses she's wearing, they look like Clive Sinclair's glasses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's... Do you think Clive Sinclair... Is he alive?
Yeah.
He might cure cancer.
He might.
He might.
This
would
have been much better if
on.
He'd lost the formula of the C5.
Yeah, and they only had one, and the whole village had to go take
and
it in turns.
And they'd received an order for 300. We need to find the formula!
Yeah, or a Dyson or something, yeah.
Yeah, because he probably has got a factory in the middle of a tribe.
Yeah, I bet he does.
I need 300 Hoovers by the end of the week,
yeah,
or you're all dead.
Right-wing.
Fucking. I tell you what.
Left in the jungle.
I don't use this word very often.
Go on.
He's a twit.
God, sorry. Can we stop for a moment? I'm a bit overcome.
But Sean draws a picture of a naked boy, which I mentioned earlier, and
yes.
We find out that
yes, he does a lot. This drawing thing is interesting because again, I think that's supposed to be a wow, look at the many sides of this.
But it
cranky.
Reminds me, if you know Father Ted when they're on the plane and they think they're all going to die, and that priest does a picture of himself in the nip with a dog. It was very much like that.
Yeah, he was not a convincing artist. The drawings were good, but he didn't look
right.
Like he looks like he's not even looking at the paper. He's just looking up acting. But also that's when the whole ponytail glasses on a lanyard thing is, it couldn't be more elderly a woman at an evening class. So. And I love elderly women. Many of my best friends are elderly. And I'd very much like to become one day.
Well, you will.
So I'm not slagging off. I hope so.
That's in
the
bank.
The dream. No, it's not. It's not. What
that's
if
going
I
go to the hospice?
Yeah, if I do. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not slagging them off per se.
You'd
but
be fooled
I
to do
don't
so.
Think, I don't think that's what they were aiming for.
No. They wanted someone
look.
Here. You were like, oh, isn't he mysterious?
Oh, God. He's artistic as well
isn't he
scientific and drunk.
He's beautiful.
And, yeah.
Who would be the equivalent? What was this film? 1993?
Yeah.
So my first thought was Mel Gibson, but...
Yes, how old was Mel Gibson then? I lose track.
Probably about 40.
But you're right, they need to be a bit rugged. Because I was thinking about Tom Hanks, but generally just because Tom Hanks makes everything better. But
he'd
I don't think
soft.
He would not be cast as this, realistically. So, I did just think of someone else. I mean, apart from Harrison Ford.
Kurt Russell,
yeah.
Harrison Ford's the perfect.
Patrick Swayze, yeah. Harrison Ford is.
Ford or Swayze would be perfect for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we go back and...
Should we say Harrison
Ford? Do that
Ford?
Again? yeah, shall we?
All right.
But no, I just mean, can we go back in time and and sort that?
Harrison Ford would be amazing in this.
Yeah.
And woman-wise, again, my first thought was Michelle Pfeiffer, but there's got to be others around then.
Yes. Well, yeah, as I say, Goldie Hawn.
Isn't Goldie Hawn a bit old? But then Harrison Ford's the same age as her, isn't he, pretty much?
Yeah, but in Hollywood terms, that's insanely
old. You're right,
old
I just walked into that cul-de-sac, didn't I? I'm ashamed.
Who would I have... I was just thinking about Joan Cusack, but again, just I like to see Joan Cusack in everything. She would absolutely be wrong.
But you'd have the wrong voice again,
no,
wouldn't you?
No, again.
But then again...
The whole wrong everything.
Part of me just thinks I'd still like it to be Lorraine Bracco because I love her at the end.
Yeah, well, if you were won round by Lorraine Bracco, let's keep Lorraine Bracco.
I totally
she
was.
She seems great.
She's lovely at the end.
Halle Berry?
No, she wasn't around then.
No, I'm bad at dating my film stars. Sigourney Weaver?
Oh, perfect.
There we go.
Perfect.
Ooh. And then it's the working girl.
Wouldn't that be? There's something for the men with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, yeah.
Something for the ladies with Harrison Ford. We're in this. No one gets served.
Exactly. No, you are right. And I mean, and again, it feels a bit reductive, except that's what this is supposed to do. That's what these films are supposed to be, aren't they?
Yeah.
So can't say they're reductive because that's literally the point of them.
Yeah.
Is you're supposed to get a bit of everything, you know, the action and the excitement and whatever. But yeah, no one's going home horny.
Also, Ford, Weaver, Medicine Man, everyone would go and see it.
Yeah.
Whereas Connery, Bracco, Medicine
Who's
Man.
Who's going to see that?
No one's going to go and watch
it. It was a bad idea.
And you can imagine Harrison Ford doing the line about, you know, I lost my purse. I lost my car keys. You know, that kind of shouting he does with the finger pointing.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, love it.
Can we go back and do it again?
Okay, let's try and recreate it. Those people are alive.
If Dr. Brian Cox is listening, pull your fucking finger out.
He's so slow, isn't he?
Rubbish.
On the whole time traveller front.
Well, I suppose he's not worried because when he finds it, he can go back and start again.
We watched Back to the Future 2 yesterday.
I watched that with my kids recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did they think of it?
They really liked it.
Yeah. My daughter was... I mean, obviously, it's not as good as Back to the Future. And I watched that quite recently with my daughter.
It's not as problematic as Back to the Future either.
No, there's less incest.
Back to the Future deals in incest.
I'm fine with it. But no, Back to the Future 2, it was actually, I think this is the fourth time I've watched it, and the first and the third times I was a bit disappointed, and the second and the fourth I was really pleasantly surprised. So maybe I'll just keep doing
it's
that.
It's like on and off switch.
Yeah.
So next time you watch it, you're going to hate it.
Not hate it, but...
It feels too close to home, though, with the whole Biff being
Donald
Trump. Oh, my
God, it's so Trump. It's ridiculous. I worried that...
But it is. I think it's my... I think the first one's probably my favourite, but the second one is...
Second one's
really,
really good.
Good.
I couldn't be bothered with the third.
My kids, we put on the third one, and they got bored very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's no...
Whereas the second one, they're 2015.
Yeah.
Looks nothing.
That is the... My daughter said, were you disappointed, Mummy, with... 2015.
I was more disappointed with everyone tweeting for a whole year about
it.
How it didn't look like this.
Yeah.
Lost a lot of friends.
But who wants fucking cars in the sky?
No
Get
one.
Over it. It's awful idea. It's horrible.
Who wants...
What are the other things
All the other things they've got in there.
I wouldn't mind a hoverboard.
I wouldn't mind the hologram film. Well, they have got the hologram films, haven't they?
Yeah.
The 3D IMAX. Anyway, Medicine Man. Sean finds out that she's engaged to be married.
Yes. And again, there's a brilliant opportunity for some jokes about age here because he makes a joke because he says, she says she's getting married to Tommy Fallon.
That's it.
She says, do you know Tommy Fallon? He says, he's 95 years old. And she says, no, his son. But what she should say is, did you go to school with him? You know, that's... And especially as he's taking the piss out of her. Yeah, exactly. It's his son, you know. And I just find it weird, and I don't know whether Sean Connery was like, no, there'll be no mocking my age.
I bet
this
he was.
Thing. Yeah.
I bet he was.
But it really ruins it, because then at least if you're open about it, then you go, you see, they've got a piss-takey relationship. Maybe this could work. Whereas actually you're like, this is just weird that no one's mentioning a massive age gap.
He also tells all the tribesmen who fancy her that she's a virgin.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's definitely weird.
He could have just said she is married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because particularly as we're getting the early signs here, apart from his dementia, that he clearly has affection for her.
This is what I mean, though, that it's sort of... the affection is clear, but the sexual chemistry, you know, there's no sort of, because he even delivers that line in a not very jealous way about that, you know, he's 95. It's more just mean.
Yeah.
To, oh, you're marrying a very
clumsy bit later on as well, where he talks about how a man in love would notice that your ears.
Well, this is, you know, talking about acting. Mm-hmm. That was the main bit that I thought that's ridiculous the way he delivers that.
Yeah.
Because all he needs to do is hint a man in love, hint at the double meaning, or hint that he's a little bit, you know, that he's trying to say something and then changes his mind. And in fact, he's just like, no, I'm talking about your fiance.
Yeah.
And she's like, right. Oh, okay.
Well, thanks for saying
that.
She asks, why haven't you gone to see the real medicine man? And then he says, don't you think I questioned the son of a bitch? Would you say that about somebody? Again, another weird decision in the line reading.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Really just aggressive.
I'm going to shout this. It's a bit like...
It's like she's been asking him for 100 times in a row, and he's eventually gone, don't you think I asked the son of a bitch?
Yeah.
But no, it's the first time she's asked him.
Yeah, again, it's a little bit like my dad. You know, he's sort of done this sort of thought process. And if someone comes in too late in his thought process, he will act as if someone else is, you know.
I'm enjoying giving acting notes.
No,
I feel like I'm Strasberg.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, he should have gone more method. And Sean tells her about the Mokara, which was the swine flu. Basically, he says that Aston, the company that Lorraine Bracco works for, came to get some sort of something from a village. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was to cure mumps.
Mumps, yeah. And ends up giving everybody swine flu.
Yeah, there is.
And AIDS, probably. And everybody dies. Therefore, the tribespeople don't trust Aston.
Yeah.
Quite rightly, if they came in and gave everybody swine
flu. Yeah, if somebody gave you your whole tribe.
And then, quite out of nowhere, the little child that's been adorable all the way through this film, picking up golf balls, showing us his arse, being drawn, has now got the same cancer as his mum.
Yes.
Like this.
Yeah, because it's hereditary.
It's like he's. I like to see a scene where he goes, oh, I've got cancer. Yeah, and then he goes into like a trance because he's got cancer.
Cancer trance,
Yeah.
Famous cancer trance.
And Sean says, well...
This whole thing that cancer... I mean, obviously, it's a long time ago now, but the whole idea that cancer is just one thing that, you know, that's not how it works, is it? Like, there's millions of different cancers and... Yeah. This flower cures all of them.
All of them
seem very realistic.
Well, we find out later it's not just it's not the flower, is it?
Shush!
Sorry.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
People are listening to this thinking, should I go and see Medicine Man?
Don't. Actually, do, because it's lovely.
Yeah, you see, you keep changing your mind about it.
Sorry, I'm conflicted. But Sean wants to use the last of these miracle cancer cure.
Yes.
But Lorraine gives him that situation, you know, the needs of the many.
Yes.
Outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah, and I think I was really enjoying this at this point because I like a bit of moral philosophy.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah, so I was completely drawn in at
Sophie's
this point.
Choice.
It's not, is it?
No. No, I mean, I meant to say it's not Sophie's Choice.
It's not Sophie's Choice, at least.
No.
They could have had that line.
Sophie's Choice would have been better, though, if it had been there.
Yeah. But what do you think about that?
What, Sophie's Choice?
No. I love that line in Friends where she says, oh, it was only okay. Yeah. It's not a great film. It's an amazing dilemma, but it's not a great film.
No.
My husband, Dan, was like...
Who's been on this podcast.
Who's been on this podcast.
The Meteor episode.
He was very keen that you don't give it to the child. Whereas I was just like, no, you have to give it to the child. And I would say there wasn't very much jeopardy in the film. I thought... They're going to give it to the child.
I
believe that she's torn, but I think she's going to go and give it
to the child. I'd give 50% to the child and keep the rest for the world.
No, but that's sort of what she tries to do, isn't it? She tries to give a bit of time. She goes, oh, we'll give him until the morning. And if he's not, which is the half and half thing.
But if he only had half cancer.
Maybe he had half cancer.
Maybe he only had half or a quarter.
Yeah, he probably didn't. It's hard to check, isn't it? Give him
three quarters, and you only need to keep the rest to be synthesised.
Suddenly you're an expert.
Well, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but we wake up the next morning after this dilemma. Sean agrees with her in the end. And they wake up the next morning, and the boy's dad has taken him to the actual medicine man.
Yes.
The real one, who looks like Melvin Hayes.
Melvin Hayes,
thanks.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to go on a trip.
But have you the The dream. Have you missed out the dream?
Missed the dream.
Yeah, she has a dream that someone comes and writes on her head in a
hilarious. Oh, okay. That's later. You've skipped. Jesus Christ.
I'm so sorry.
Spoiler alert, everybody. But they go on. So Sean's reluctant to go to see the medicine man because he says that they don't get it.
Mokara. I just can't stop saying Mokara because the whole time I didn't understand what it was referring to, but it felt really. Honestly, I kept thinking, is it a place? Is it a person? But I really enjoyed the way he said it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not good in this.
And then he did some catching, which I think some really good catching acting, which I think is where he shines, Sean Connery.
What catching acting?
I can't remember what he caught. One of the tribesmen chucked him something.
and you wrote
really
that down, did you?
Yeah, because I thought, that's what I enjoy watching Sean Connery
catching
do.
Catching things.
Yeah, like just a bit of physical...
Well, let me ask you this. What if he caught AIDS? Would you be happy?
If I could watch him physically
have a sex with a monkey.
Oh, you think it was Sean Connery?
Yes.
That would be a real twist in this, actually, if he fucks a monkey and
would you
gets
be
AIDS.
Surprised? If this character...
His film turned out to be
I wouldn't
be
say
about
Sean Connery.
That.
I'd say this character was the man
Campbell.
That got the first AIDS. Would you be
I would have been really surprised, and I think I might have enjoyed the film more because I really love a proper left-field twist.
Be better if it finished, right? We get the lovely ending, which we'll get to. And then the caption just came up and said, by the way...
Campbell went... Yeah, the caption's come up.
Got
Campbell
first AIDS.
Campbell went on to be the first man to get it. Yeah, okay, well
it's a better ending
that. Yeah, it's a better ending. I mean, I would like that if that was the end of all films because I actually really like those captions at the end of films and I think they should
and
have
if there
them.
Was a photo accompanying it of him smiling with a little chimp on his lap
which I bet there are photos of
and then in the corner just for a sweetener Benetton logo
perfect done.
So they go on their trip.
Yeah.
They go on their trip. And they find it, is it called a Yoko tree?
Yes. So this is where she gets a headache, which isn't very dramatic, is it?
No, she suddenly goes, oh, I got a headache. And I'm doing, that's Bronx.
Yeah.
And he says, here, take this. And he gives it to her, and it's this stuff from the Yoko tree. And she's suddenly very high.
Yes.
And he says, she says,
woohoo acting.
Yeah, and he says, you know, it's a compound they made. And she said, they don't spit in this one, do they? And he goes, well, spit, no.
Yeah.
And she doesn't question.
No.
What does that mean?
She needs it. I mean, I'm really hoping it's not spunk. But what's a step worse than spit?
It's either urine.
Right.
If we're being innocent.
You're right, I always miss out that stage.
But yeah. I mean, my mind went to spunk, sorry. As it always does.
Yeah.
It's simple people.
Simpler times, the 90s.
So she then starts pissing about like she's Frank Spencer and falls down a hill.
Yeah. And this was very enjoyable. So someone falls over and you turn around and they've fallen into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like into the branches of a tree.
Not any tree. The tree on the edge of the world.
Yes. Yeah. With a very neat cut on her knee.
And a little bleeding nose. No, bleeding mouth.
Bleeding mouth.
Which, to be fair, they keep up for the rest of the film. But how does she... No, I don't know.
Yeah.
So she lands on this tree and Sean has to save her by sort of... lowering himself down on a harness.
Yes.
And then putting a harness on her.
Yeah.
And lowering them both down. But then they're like 15 feet above, no, probably like 20 feet above this river.
Above water, yeah.
Water, no, it's a pond. Pond?
Oh, is it?
Lake?
It's not a pond. It's That's
a,
not very
a
dramatic.
A big pond. The Blue Peter Pond.
Yeah. If I was 15 feet above, I wouldn't be jumping into that pond.
No, it's a big lake.
It's a big old lake, yeah.
I got confused.
This was the best bit of the film.
Yeah, he cuts her rope and his rope.
How many times do you reckon they did that?
Loads.
Do you think?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell. She definitely does the big drop into the water.
Yeah.
You can see her.
Yeah.
But Sean falls in and then it cuts and then you see him come out of the water. So
yeah,
definitely
I don't think he did, but she did and it was brilliant. But there was some weird ADR.
Mm.
They were clearly being told to improvise some chat while they were hanging there. And then they ADR'd some proper lines over.
I couldn't tell if it was a blue screen as well, because it looked a bit odd round. It looked a bit lines round them. Looked a bit odd.
I didn't spot that.
It looked a bit like it was blue screen, because I kept thinking they wouldn't have Sean Connery dangling from a massive rope over a lake, would they? Or should I say, Sean Connery wouldn't have himself.
Yeah, yeah, he's got golf to play.
Yeah, it looked blue screen to me.
Oh, that's a shame.
But yeah, so they fall in the water and then they get out of the water and then they basically make camp.
Yes.
And he starts flirting with her a bit because he says, "You were spectacular."
Yeah.
And he promises her she can cry.
Yes.
And she does.
Yeah, and they have a bit of a cuddle in the lake.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Didn't you think it was interesting that they didn't kiss there? I felt like that would like normally be a kiss moment. But
this
I honestly
was Harrison
think,
Ford and Sigourney Weaver.
Yes. And I honestly think they were just like, oh, do we have to? We don't let's not, want let's to. Just let's not. Just not bother.
Let's be a bit fun and flirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were no kisses in the whole film.
No.
They didn't even kiss at the end, do they?
I don't think so.
No, even though they're taking off each other's clothes.
He does fuck a monkey, though. So.
You're right. After post-credits, sure. I don't know if he's kissed the monkey. I hope he kissed
the monkey
first.
Monkeys don't want to be kissed. They're all about the effing.
The action, yeah.
Yeah. So then they go to bed, as you brought up earlier, and she has a dream that Melvin Hayes, the medicine man...
Draws on her head,
a blue line, which we find out later doesn't come off.
Yes, which is amazing. But I suppose it's better than a cock, which is what you usually draw, you know, when people...
But that's like you going to sleep at a party, and rather than your friends drawing a cock on you, have the pen, they use a tattoo pen, so it never comes off, ever.
Yeah, and draw something quite, like...
Abstract.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything either.
A blue line right across their forehead.
But she'd probably be all right with the fringe, wouldn't she?
Maybe it's prison talk for their filth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I did think, was it Melvin Hayes wanting to say he'd claimed her?
I don't know. It's never made clear.
No. It's a very sort of coy film in that way. Like the sex, it's very... Yeah, nothing's... I mean, there's still bits of this that I don't really understand.
No.
And I really was paying attention. Mm. I think confusion is the enemy of this script a bit.
And Sean and the medicine man have a relationship.
Yes.
Which gets resolved.
Yeah.
But I don't know what him drawing on her head means.
No. No, because it wasn't like they were fighting over her.
Are we trying to say here that she's some sort of spiritual being, you know, like some sort of special, you are a spirit.
Maybe he's saying that.
You are magic. Give us a call, love.
What's the equivalent of his phone number, you think?
His phone number is one blue line.
Yeah.
It's actually a tree.
Well, in the jungle, that's...
Don't be racist.
that's how they do phone numbers in the jungle.
Is it really?
Is that racist?
Yes.
Okay.
It's junglist massive.
Junglist massive. Big up the junglist massive.
That's it. That's what we should do. But then we meet the Melvin Hayes.
Yes. And they have a wisecracky fight.
He wants a fight. And the witch doctor says that there's no juju in the sky.
What do they want from the witch doctor?
Well, the little boy's been taken there, so they want to rescue the little boy.
Okay.
But he comes out, also
wanted to pick his brains.
Pick his brains about the sky flower.
Right.
So they have
think he might know something about the sky flower.
Yes, because he's the one who... Sean first saw him picking it.
Okay, so he picked it, but he didn't have anything to do with the serum.
No.
Okay.
But they were trying to eliminate all possibilities.
Yes.
Maybe he was picking his nose when he picked it or something. Maybe he's got magic bogeys.
That would be an amazing...
Wouldn't it?
...end to the film as well.
They could decapitate him.
Constant bogeys. No, that's not how you get constant bogeys, decapitation.
Put him in a room with dogs and cats.
Yeah, give him colds, but nothing worse.
And AIDS.
Just for luck.
Oh dear. But Sean and Melvin have a comedy fight
where
there's lots of sticks being hit on the feet and things. And
but there would have been an opportunity for an age thing here because they're like, we're going to have a fight. And she's like, but he's only 2 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
But then you would go, mind you are quite old now. So maybe it evens out.
You're 60
something
years
like
old.
That. Yeah. Because I was watching thinking, oh, he's going to, you know, he's going to have a fall, isn't he?
He's going to break his hip.
Crack a hip, yeah.
You have to press that red button.
Love the idea of him taking one of those to the jungle.
You would, wouldn't
you?
Yeah,
would.
Just in case.
Who was it? Mrs.
Merton?
No, Mrs. Somebody Knows Help Is Coming. That's what the adverts were.
Oh, I don't know.
It was
know.
Just a white-haired lady lying in a conservatory.
I just remember the Harry Hill joke about my nan's got one of those red buttons. When she has a fall, she presses it and it notifies the nearest estate agent.
Oh. Mrs. Savage? No, I don't think that's...
Wouldn't be Mrs. Savage.
No. No, that was an old a little old lady that
Lily Savage
was. No, but my sister and I once became helpless with laughter because a tiny old lady with a big blue rinse was being led out of the hairdressers, and then we heard her say, "Are you all right, Mrs. Savage?" And we just thought it was really
that is good,
amazing. It's a good name for an old lady.
It is,
yeah.
Particularly if she's got two twin boys who are gangsters.
Yes,
Vince and there was Vince Savage was in Grange Hill.
Yeah.
Trevor Cleaver and Vince Savage.
Yes, I remember Vince Savage.
I want to do a podcast called Gonch's Toast Club.
Where it's do you know all I about... know Gonch?
No,
I do.
You fucking don't.
We should
don't.
Maybe talk about this John off Holmes. Air. Yeah. Fuck I mean, I haven't seen him for a long time, but I know his ex-girlfriend very well.
I want to see him.
He's amazing. You'd love him.
I love him. He was my best friend when I was little, even though I never met him.
Well, do you know what he gets all the time? Basically, when he's introduced to a group of friends, you know... someone will always say, "Oh yeah, we've met," and he'll just takes it. He never says, "I was Gonch in Grange Hill," but then gradually people go, "I know we haven't met. You're Gonch," but everyone thinks they went to school with him.
I would literally do a Wayne's World style "I'm not worthy" if I met him.
Weirdly, he went to my university as well, even though that's not how I properly met him. But we were going to get him to turn on our Christmas lights as the local celebrity.
Wow.
Yeah,
I he's genuinely am in awe of Gonch.
Yeah, yeah, he's brilliant.
Holloway can fuck off. Gonch was the best.
Sure.
He was the best out of all of them. Yeah. Anyway, so they have a little fight, and then he tells Sean that there's no juju in the Sky Flower.
Yes. But I don't know why they particularly believe him, but I suppose that's...
There's only a house for bugs.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Only a house for bugs. But I thought that that was being translated as "you're an idiot."
Well, yeah, because we should say that while they're having a fight, Lorraine Bracco and the tribesman that's come with them, they're basically having banter.
Yeah.
And she's shouting things at Sean. He's like, "God damn it!"
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be giving compliments to the medicine man, and the medicine man slagging him off, is that?
He's supposed to let the medicine man win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just be a passive cuck, essentially.
A passive cuck,
as they
would
say these days. But he doesn't really. He.
No, he can't help it. He's James Bond.
Exactly. So they bring the sickly boy back to the village, and Sean gets drunk because we've reached the point in the hero's journey where everyone has to abandon the journey.
Yes.
And Crane talks about his wife and why she left him.
Yeah.
And he starts getting into it, and then he has to go and have a prayer with everybody.
Yes. But again, he says, "Where was I when you were sick?" And she doesn't say, "I don't know, getting your free bus pass."
Hey. See, I wish it was you.
Yeah,
much
exactly.
But then the boy has basically been laid out, and they're all praying and doing a prayer dance for the boy. And Lorraine comes in and gives the boy the injection.
Yeah, because you have to.
75% of it.
But what's the point of that? Because then 25% of it won't be enough. And 75% won't cure him, probably.
How
they know,
do you
how
know?
Much,
how do you know?
They know how much serum they need to cure the boy.
Right.
They didn't say, "We can give him most." I mean, that's the dilemma. You have
it's
to abide by it.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
Oh, my God.
So the next morning, the boy's fine.
Yeah.
But there's smoke, and Sean says, "Time's up."
Yes.
Which is fairly sort of what's happening these days. He probably means that Harvey Weinstein's watching this.
On his way.
"Time's up, Harvey. You fuck that monkey."
Yeah, the monkeys are going to be doing Me Too soon.
They are.
It's coming.
And those PG Tips ones.
Oh,
I was carrying a peony up the stairs and someone wanked in my face. So they got 24 hours. Basically, we should have said that Lorraine Bracco's boss, a foreign bloke, I've forgotten his name.
Miguel,
thank you. He is going to run a road through the village. But there's no proof that this cancer stuff can be reproduced.
Why is he doing that?
I don't know. Couldn't they go round? Couldn't they do a bypass? It's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, isn't it?
There's a... Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
So they've got 24 hours to find a cure. And then she finds his sketchbook and the pic of her.
Yeah.
And then she decides she's going to run another test. At this point, Sean's given up, essentially. And she accidentally cracks the missing solution. And Sean says, "What did you use?" She says, "Sugar solution."
And at that point, I was thinking, sugar! Sugar's a cure for cancer. Yeah. What an amazing twist.
Amazing.
It's not.
It's not. And this, I like this bit. Because he said, "What did you use for the sugar?" And he empties the bowl and there's loads of weird ants in there.
Spiders.
Are they spiders?
Yeah, they're spiders.
Oh, I thought they were ants.
No, it's mentioned.
Is it?
Spider.
Yes. Oh, of course, it has to be an S.
Yeah.
So, they run to the forest. And this is just a weird bit.
Oh, it was so weird. And I didn't know if it was weird because I couldn't see my tablet screen very well.
You're watching on a tablet?
Yeah.
Right.
On a train. How
did your husband comment on this film?
Well, because I went home and I taught him about moral philosophy for about 20 minutes, which is what I do every night.
Of course.
I've got a degree in philosophy, so, you know, that's that's what I talk about.
I should say have you or why have you.
Why have you or have you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did it right the first time.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were being polite, you know, just interest, showing interest, but no.
No, I thought it was a philosophical question.
Is it?
I think, therefore, I did.
Yeah. So, yes, I couldn't tell. Some things were on fire.
Well, we get lots of slow motion and moody music.
Yep.
Because they're basically... This is the bit I didn't get.
I thought that was buffering the slow motion.
No, it wasn't. They're basically knocking down all the jungle and burning stuff. Sean comes and starts a fight with them. And because of this fight, it causes a digger to run over and push over a big fire, which burns the whole forest down.
Yes, you see, now I thought that's what it looked
so
like.
So Sean hadn't have done that.
Yeah.
His lab would still be there now.
Yeah.
But because of him doing that and getting beaten up, his whole lab burns down and their village.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah, so in a way, he's ruined his own film. In more than one way, he's ruined his own film.
So the next morning, everything's burnt down and Miguel arrives. And
by this point, Sean and Lorraine are sort of wearing matching mother-daughter outfits.
They certainly
are. Which is lovely.
Yeah. Is it Mother Sunday and Arrested Development? They're doing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then he arrives, and the first thing she says to him is, haven't you ever lost anything? Your purse, your car keys? And it's just weird, because he wasn't there when that first conversation happened. So he's just like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous callback. Yeah. But not even a very good... It's not even... Yeah, it doesn't work on either level.
Particularly the voice I did. I should apologise. I'm not an actor.
Do it again.
No, I can.
This is, because it isn't even queued up properly. He doesn't even say, I can't remember what he says.
I don't think he says it. It just feels really out of nowhere. It feels apropos of nothing.
Exactly. But Sean has taken his hair down.
He has.
Which is the international sign for breakdown.
That's right.
Or being more attractive.
The only way it would look more obvious is if he was eating a pot of ice cream.
Oh, and they could have done that because they have some freeze-dried ice cream.
They do, like the spacemen have.
Yeah.
I said spacemen.
Spacemen.
Like they're Jewish.
Spacemans. Yeah.
This is Carl Spaceman.
Not astronauts. Spacemen.
The villager's gone and Crane says that she's going to give him all the equipment.
Yep.
And the doctor he initially wanted, because he initially wanted a man doctor.
Yeah, Mr. Manlove or something.
Mr. Manlove.
Sea Love, something like odd. That. Yeah. Alan Sea Love.
Ian Monkey Love. And Sean then says he wants her. And basically our husband's a dick.
Yeah. And the husband thing is weird for a couple of reasons, but one of which they seem to both know him and he's a society darling or something.
If this was a Romancing the Stone type film, you'd have a scene at the beginning with her and her husband and make it clear the husband is a dick.
Yes, absolutely.
Completely and ignoring her and horrible and everything. Completely. Like the guy in Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend in that is a real dick.
You're right. There's no sort of context that makes you care about the background. Yeah, the husband is just he may as well be made up.
And then you see her with Harrison Ford and you're like, what are you doing with that husband? But then you get him with Sean Connery, you're just like, you should probably go back to the fiance.
And also it felt a bit annoying that she was, you know, she was like his boss. She was his boss. And now she's slightly been, even though she wants to stay, but it's like she's staying as his assistant, which felt a bit retrograde. It's like, oh, okay, he gets to be in charge again, which is a little bit boring
in terms of
they've done that. Oh, that lovely twist that she's in charge and now she's definitely back.
And then we get another reading of her reading a letter to her fiancé, like she's in an echoey bathroom again.
Yes! Well, it's like she's gone into a cave to record it and send him the tape or something. Very disappointing.
But she basically says, I'm going to stay here and, you know, carry on my work. Then she goes something like, oh, and about our marriage.
About our marriage.
Yeah.
She says, I'm not ready for it yet.
Yeah.
Which is good because it leaves the door open in case, because this man, he's not all that.
He's
going to die soon. Exactly. The foreshadowing of the AIDS.
But the last scene, I must say, I really liked it. Where she's all tribeswoman.
bums.
You know, she hasn't got her bum or boobs out, obviously. But she's got tribal markings, not just the blue line, but she's also got stuff on her cheek
as well.
But she's wearing her Clive Sinclair glasses. No shoes. Because remember when she arrived,
she was wearing those boots.
That were just, I mean, we didn't mention it because we're too busy, but the boots when she arrived, they were like really sort of secure boots because she was worried about spiders.
Yeah.
But now, no shoes. And then Sean's walking through the jungle behind her with a golf club.
Yes.
And he says, Dr. Brooklyn.
Bronx.
I've done it the wrong way around again, haven't I? Dr. Bronx.
I mean, he's got dementia, so, you know,
I have as well.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But he, there's some ADR there about Dr. Bronx, we should get going. And then she turns around and walks off, and that's the end.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they've done that unbutton your shirt thing already. She says it to him. Unbutton your shirt. But again, it doesn't seem sexy. It seems like she's worried about his
procedural
heart.
Yeah.
Just let me check.
Checking your liver spots. There were 15 there yesterday. There's 12 there.
Definitely not going to sleep with you now. But yes, so before this, I was like, yes, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like this film.
Same.
And I did.
Yep.
Not much, but I did.
Same. I had a warm feeling from it.
Yeah.
But it would have been warmer if it had been Harrison Ford and Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was a missed opportunity. It could have been a great film, and instead it was fine.
It focused too much on things that are just not interesting.
Yeah.
Should have had more action and excitement.
Yes. And humour.
And humour. And less monkey fucking.
Oh, there can never be enough monkey fucking.
But we've reached the point of the podcast where I ask you the quick fire questions. So here we go.
Yeah.
Who is the best Bond and what is the best Bond film?
The best Bond I'm going to say is Daniel Craig, even though I've never seen him being Bond. But good. I did really like him in Our Friends in the North.
Good. This is a good question. Yeah. Answer.
And so the best Bond film... I haven't seen that many, but I'm going to go for GoldenEye, which is the last one I saw in the cinema.
Great.
And I really like Alan Cumming and Tina Turner, so that's
a good choice.
I can just remember the pen stuff's good, isn't it?
Yeah, the pen stuff's good.
Yeah, really good.
Good.
That'll do.
Excellent. So in your opinion,
yes.
Who is the worst Bond and what is the worst Bond film?
Of the ones I've seen, David Niven.
Right.
Probably.
No one's ever said that. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. And the worst Bond film?
I like David Niven, but not in this. The worst Bond film. Well, weirdly, I think I've only seen the very worst ones. The only ones I've seen in the cinema are Octopussy and Never Say Never Again. No, apart from GoldenEye, I think.
Mm.
But they're both considered the worst, aren't they?
They're not good.
Yeah. But I was a child, so, you know.
What the fuck did you know?
I don't know, exactly.
Yeah. So who do you have as James Bond next?
ABH.
What?
Anyone but Hiddleston.
Oh, I like that. Is that a thing?
No, it's my thing. It's my answer to everything.
On board.
Take it.
Yeah,
But how about a real twist? Malala.
Who?
Malala Yousafzai.
Who's that?
She's the girl who got shot and went on to be a pioneer.
Okay.
The Afghani. Is she Afghani?
Okay. Is she the one who won the Nobel Prize?
Yeah, she won a Nobel Prize.
Yeah,
I'm
hip. I'm with it. Good.
I don't think it's about being hip, particularly Nobel Prize.
She might have got shot in the hip.
Shot in the head.
What?
She got shot in the head.
Sounds like
it. She's
hip.
Amazing.
Doesn't though, does it? It's like Sophie's Choice again.
Really isn't.
James Bond is full of stupid names like Money, Penny, Small Bone and Good Head. Give me your best Bond lady name that you've made up.
Mercy Titwank.
Well, again, that sounds like a person and a service.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the classic Bond
thing. Well, beautiful. Great. Beautiful. We don't want to go into that too much.
No.
So give me your best Bond film title that you've made up.
I thought about this a lot, and I've gone with James Bond Goes on Holiday.
I like it.
Because I think that's the only Bond film I'd be like... Oh, no, I'd like to see what scrapes he got
you know
into
why this
when
is
he was
perfect?
Off duty. Go on.
Because a Smirsch listener, every time we listen to this guy called James Marshall,
yes.
He makes posters.
Oh.
Based on this. And he uses the cover of the film we're talking about. So it'll be the cover of Medicine Man, and it'll say James Bond Goes on Holiday.
Perfect.
Because he's in the forest.
It's a bit exotic. Yeah,
it's
gone on exotic. Well, I was thinking it was more of a sort of Costa del Sol thing. But as long as it's really dull and not very much happens, maybe a bit of slapstick.
He's visiting Medicine Man, so you've got what you asked for. A hypothetical fight takes place between Simon Templar, the Saint, and James Bond 007. Who wins?
Now, Simon Templar is a little bit supernatural, isn't he? No? All right, I'm going to go with James Bond because good. There are more of them.
That's the right answer.
Good.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good point.
Good point. Did Roger Moore ever get asked that for real? He must have.
No,
done.
It was in. Well, not on record. It's from
no,
man.
I know.
I know, but nobody points. There's only one person that's actually pointed it out.
What?
That it's from.
Oh, really?
It's from Alan Partridge.
But I wonder if Roger Moore. Someone must have asked Roger Moore.
I'd like to have, but he's dead now.
Yeah, it's a shame. Did you know he invented? You do know he invented Magnums, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's almost as good as Mark's story.
Yeah, not as good. Nothing's as good as Mark's story.
No. Finally.
Yeah.
You're stranded on a desert island with Sean Connery, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Piers Brosnan and Daniel Craig. Who do you elect as leader to advise your rescue attempt? And if it fails, who do you eat first?
I'm going to go with Daniel Craig for leader because he's the one I'm most scared of.
Right.
That's sort of how I do live all of my life.
Makes sense.
But I don't know, eating first. They all look quite chewy, don't they? Who would you go with?
Who would I go with? I'd probably go with Sean.
Sean. It's going to be gristly, smoked, isn't it? Sean, smoked.
It's very
you
tanned.
You totally should add that to your list and how would you cook them?
It's a good idea. I want this to be a question on Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, why not?
You know, you get after the, you know, you, what books would
luxury,
you take?
Luxury yeah.
items. And if you were there with somebody else, who would it be and how would you eat them?
Send it in.
Because there's going to be point where one of you is going to die and you're going to have to eat the other
yeah.
one.
Yeah. I was wondering, do people ever cut off their own limbs and
cook
eat
them.
That? Yeah. Does it feel like you're really hungry?
Which one would you cut off, though?
Well, it would be, I mean, you're a fool to cut off an arm if you're...
Well, you need them, don't you?
Yeah.
But you also need your feet.
Well, yeah, maybe you do. Maybe that's why people... Maybe that's
what
the simple
What if you found
answer.
A really nice well and it's at the top of a hill?
What about a bit of your thigh?
You might die, though, because hasn't that got your jugular veins in them?
Oh. Oh, you're right. Hair?
Head?
Eat your own head.
Cut off your head and eat it.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember what the answer was. Doesn't matter.
You'll listen back.
We'll listen back at some point. Margaret, thank you very much
for
being here. It was really, really fun.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for making
a
film that was dreadful fun.
Wasn't that bad?
No, I liked it. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.